pick up where I left off. Jim asked me the title back in his office before the service. I gave him the title, right? I come out and I was praying there in the back. Stephen asked me the title, and I gave him a different title. And then while I've been sitting on the front bench, I'm going, there might be a third title. I'm not sure. When you're full, I've got 27 messages running in me at the same time here, so lock the doors. No. Hallelujah. We'll see what he does. It's going to be good. I want to mention a couple of things. Now, during this morning service, I think I overstepped just a little bit. I mean, Jim would never hold a grudge, but he was starting to tell a joke. He says, I haven't told many jokes in this conference, and I thought it was real funny. You know, I said, thank you, Jesus, like that, you know. Everybody laughed and everything, you know. But then I thought, well, you know, that was, because I mean, we love Pastor Jim's jokes. I mean, those of you that's been around, Dave, does Dave tell corny jokes? I mean, we'd all collectively groan he'd tell some of those jokes, you know. But we love that humor, don't we? And it's the same here. So I thought, what I'd do tonight to make amends, I'm going to go back to my religious upbringing, and I'm going to flog myself. I'm going to tell the lowest joke that's ever been told in humankind. And from this point, there's only anywhere to go but up. You ready? Here it comes. All right. Are you aware that God the Father has to do everything with his left hand? Because we know from the Word, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. All together. Oh, 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 that's terrible. That's terrible. All right, feel free, Brother Jim. There's nowhere to go but up from there, okay? Then the other thing that he shared this morning, he was going to share a fault. You know, it says confess your faults one to another. So he was going to confess a fault. And Pastor Bronk went, do it, share it now, you know. And we were hoping for something kind of juicy. I was getting ready to make notes, you know. And I went, really? That's it? You know? Like, sometimes the enemy says, you know, your preaching is not real good, Jim. And he goes, I'm going, that's it? Holy cow. Come on. I ain't going to tell you about my faults right now, I'm telling you. I got some other faults than that. Let me tell you. See, I know why God has Jim in the ministry. And that's for me. I'm serious about that. Where do you think I get my material from? Now, I do my own share of meditation of the Word, and I do my own share of praying and all of the things that we teach. But I've not made a secret of this. There's two men that I listen to. One of them is Bronk. Just so you know, at Bronk's church, I am a member in good standing of the Prayer Center of Immokalee, Tulsa Division. I have a seat. They have my name on a seat, and I'm totally caught up with every message this year. And I tell them if they're not, they're in sin. Because I hear every message at the prayer center. I hear every message at his church. I'm almost caught up with him. He's so prolific, it's hard to keep up with Jim. But anyway, I want to make you aware, in Indonesia, hello, everywhere that you, listen, at the website that's just as available to you there, as it is to me here. I want to do a little promo, a little bit. Jim Martin is the best line-on-line teacher, perhaps, in the world. I mean, I'm not just saying that because he's letting me preach here. If he does his homework, he'll study the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. You'll find out the shadow. You'll find out the New Testament reality. He'll study the Greek and then the Greek of the Greek. And then the commentary on the Greek and the historical content. Now, for example, I'm at his website, and if you don't know what it is, it's jmmgrace.com. J-M-M, Jim Martin Ministries, jmmgrace.com. And I just pulled up a few. Now, I've listened to these, many of these, not all of them. He's a prolific guy. But, like, here's one of my favorites. See, if you ask me to teach on water baptism, I can teach on water baptism. Probably be a good hour-long service. you know, everything that I know, Old Testament, New Testament, that I, you know, that'd be a nice thing. You go to his website and you look up series S132, Water Baptism, A Foundation for Believers. There are six messages, 6-hour-long messages on water baptism. Number one, why should I be baptized? Number two, the power in baptism. Number three, what is water baptism? Number four, Gentile, Jew, and son. Number five, fulfilling all righteousness. Number six, a pure, spotless bride. 6 hours on water baptism. You think I'm going to, when he's already done all the research, and I know he's done all the research, I say, I can just listen to those while I'm praying in tongues. You understand? And taking notes, and then I give him credit once, and then it's mine. That's the way we do it, isn't it, Bronk? And that's it, right there. I'm going to give you one more. And now, I don't know if you know it, there is a radical grace movement going around the world that's going to wind up taking a lot of people to hell. Is that plain enough? He has one of the best true messages called The Force of Grace. There's 9 messages in that series. Grace is a spiritual force, grace that brings salvation. We're under grace, not the law, and so forth. This is the true grace of God. You want to know the grace of God? You want to have a defense against some of these other things? I recommend that series. Just one more. And now this is one that I never intend to listen to. I'm teasing. He already knows which one it is. Unlocking the Secrets of Fasting. Do you even want to know how many messages are in that series? Almost 26. 26 messages on fasting? Shandai Mahandai, I'll tell you right now. Do Christians have a sin nature? These are major points of contention in the body of Christ. If you would like line upon line from the Bible, pure teaching, without a bunch of mingling of other stuff, I recommend jmmgrace.com. So anytime that lying devil tells you that, said, I'm doing this for Gary. Okay? You tell that thing to shut up, because I need you. The body of Christ needs you, I'm telling you. All right. Okay. All right. Which way do you want to go? Really? All right. Well, then, Angie, go start the car. It's my daughter. I never have introduced them. Angie and Kevin, stand up for just a moment. They're here. They're here this time. That's my daughter, Angie, her husband, Kevin. Because Angie's on board now, I have no excuses not to pray and meditate the Word. She takes care of all of the other stuff for me. And I really appreciate them coming. But on the other hand, if there's anything at our website you don't like, it's her fault. No, you'll like it. You'll like it. Well, I'm a little surprised. So I'm going to step on everybody's toes tonight. Looking at the clock for your mercy's sake. Okay. Well, since we're not going out to eat this, you know, so much this time, we have a little more time, I think. See, Jim started this off. It's his fault. He was talking about the difference between science and the Word. Let's say it another way. Science and truth. Science thinks it is truth. It really isn't. The Word of God is truth. Jesus defined for all time what truth is. Father, thy word is truth. So Jim started us off really talking about creation. And he says, now science observes where we are. It observes the world that we have right now. And then it starts looking backward at the source. It assumes truth is now, but then it goes backwards, examining everything in the light of what it's seeing now. See, what we're supposed to do is go to the source of all things, which is God's Word, and then go forward. This is truth. We're to live by the Word of God, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God, and not by sight. So he was teaching it from the aspect of creation, going back to Genesis 1. But while he was doing that, in my mind, I was going, the Holy Spirit was taking me down a little different path. But it is exactly the same process. Now, what he's doing at this conference, and really in our day, he is restoring power to the church. And I don't mean to just the fivefold. I'm talking about Mary Wallpaper and Joe Public. And if he lets me get to it, I know before the week is out, he's got a demonstration that's really going to help you. It helped me. But while Jim was teaching that, I started making a list. See, if we're just going to go strictly to the Word, who is the author and the finisher of our faith? He's really the one we're to look to, right? Jesus Christ. And if the church is going to walk, I mean, whose church is this? Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. If we want to see how church should be, shouldn't we look at Jesus? Okay? So if we're going to start at the source, if he's the author of our faith, then I was taking the, you know, I'm thinking, okay, instead of looking at the church today, how it exists, let's go back to the source. And this list is called Things Jesus Did Not Do. And I'm going to start reading it off, and I'm going to step on everybody's toes before it's over. And I'm not against any of these things now. I'm not, but you just think about it in your own mind. It's the truth. I'm going to say it this way. We have substituted a lot of the things of man because of the vacuum of power in the church. We brought in a lot of the things of the world because of the vacuum of power in the church. But if we're going to really have a New Testament church, pretty sure it's going to be modeled the same way that Jesus did it. Isn't that right? Okay, agree with me. Be nice to me anyway. Say amen, Brother Gary. Hallelujah. Okay. So let me read this, and then I'm going to start reading these off. And I'm going to try and be nice. I'm not against any of these things. You'll see what I mean. And I don't mean for you to throw the baby out with the bathwater either. But still, it's the truth. You're going to see it. So I just wrote this first. I said, because the church has been powerless for so long, it has substituted the ways of man and the ways of the world instead. Here is a partial list of works that have been substituted for power. Jesus did not function this way. For example, Jesus would cast out devils and heal people just as they were. Isn't that right? He would often say to them after, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. But he would always say that after he first set them free from devils, diseases, even birth defects. Amen? All right. Now here's a list of, here's just item number one. I have searched. If I'm wrong, I am open to correction. Brother Jim, Brother Bronk, anybody? But I cannot find where Jesus ever taught nutrition. Quiet in this church now. I can't find it. See, today, if you want to have a healing ministry in the charismatic church, all you need is a degree in nutrition and exercise. And, you can have seminars. People will come, give you big money. Are we against nutrition? Are we against exercise? But is that the way Jesus did it? No. So I looked for it. I can't find anywhere that Jesus came and taught nutrition or had exercise seminars. Now here's another thing. Jesus never said, that I can find, if I'm wrong, I'm open, change what you eat, then I will heal you. Do we believe in eating right? Absolutely. But I'm just saying, he didn't do it that way. That's not the emphasis. I can't find where he said, lose weight and I'll heal you. Can you find it? Come back after you've lost 40 pounds. Can't find it. Now, is gluttony a sin? Yes, it is. So if he said, go and sin no more, you might, you know. But he would heal you first. He wouldn't say, you got to get in shape first, would he? Okay. I could go on just that point number one. Let's look at another one. Things Jesus never did that I can find. Let's see. I hesitate to do that one. Lord, I don't want to do that one because I'm afraid people... See, don't run amok. I'm telling you, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Far as I can see, and I've really studied, far as I can tell, Jesus never prescribed drugs or medicine for anybody. Quiet in this church now. Yeah, I can't... Do I believe in medicine? Listen, medicine keeps you alive until you have enough faith to be healed. Medicine doesn't heal you in the first place. For the most part, medicine masks the symptoms or puts your body in a holding pattern or something, giving you time for your body to heal. God put healing naturally in your body, okay? I'm not against medicine. I'm sure not against it. If it wasn't for doctors, I wouldn't be here today. Thank God for doctors. Keep you alive till you have some faith. Amen? All right? But am I telling the truth? Is there a place where Jesus ever... Here, go take this potion. Here, take this 3 times a day. Call Dr. Jesus in the morning. He just didn't do it that way. Okay? Now, medicine, on the other hand, does not stop the power of God. It doesn't stop the power of God. Okay? Now, I'm going to say right now, I got to say this. We are not doctors. And I'm not going to tell you to take your medicine or not take your medicine. In fact, I'll just go ahead and tell you this, because it happens all the time when you pray for people and they want to believe they're healed. If they ask the question, should I take my medicine? The answer is a default. Yes. Because the question lets me know you don't have enough faith. The question itself lets me know, yes, you need to keep taking your medicine. One time he weaned me off. Now this, I'm not going to tell this. It'd take up the whole hour. But I had the reason I quit driving trucks was a heart condition that I developed. And I had to, and without taking them, they prescribed medicine for me that controlled that. But the side effect, you know how you, on TV they'll advertise a medicine? Then they play that sweet, lovely music while it causes cancer and death and destruction and bad breath and your leg will fall off and I don't know what all, you know. You know, well, the side effect of that medicine they gave me was it accelerated the onslaught of arthritis, which about 50 years old was the last thing I needed, was that. God weaned me. See, God will deal with you as an individual. He knows where you are. I tried to live on another man's faith. We had a guy come through and says, I got prayed for. A healed man don't need no medicine. I threw my medicine away and I've been fine. So I said, yes, sir. I got prayed for. I went and threw my medicine away and 7 days later, I nearly died. Pastor Dave told me, he said, God is not obligated to manifest your healing because you throw away your medicine. God is obligated to manifest your healing when you believe his word. Now you work on your belief, take your medicine, listen to God. Over a 2-year stretch, God weaned me off that medicine. That condition's supposed to be incurable. You're not supposed to be healed of it. I took the last dose of that medicine in May of 1998. What year is this? 2017. I think I'm healed. Amen? Anyway. But now, the closest we come to that, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this. This is free. There's no extra charge for this. The closest you'll come in the New Testament to finding anything like medicine is, you don't have to turn to it, 1 Timothy 5:23. And it says, drink. Now, that's the closest thing that I could find. And that's not even Jesus. That's Paul talking. But anyway, Paul, I'm pretty sure, heard from Jesus. Pretty sure he did. But he said, now, I'm quote the verse to you. Drink no longer, he's writing to Timothy. Drink no longer water, but use a little, hang on. Wine. I got my notes mingled. I have my notes mingled. So, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Okay? In the Greek, what it really says is drink no longer water only. Get that? Drink no longer water only, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Well, I did some research. The word little is Strong's G3641. It is the Greek word O-L-I-G-O-S. And the first meaning of it is puny. Literally, puny. And it, the picture is like an eyedropper worth in a like a quart of water. It was a common practice then, and it's even a common practice today in the Mideast. You know, because their water is not always really good. It's, you know, they'll take about an eyedropper full, a tablespoon, something like that, and they'll put that in like a maybe a quart of water to purify it. That is what he was telling Timothy. Okay, just to purify the water so that it's just not causing any stomach troubles. Now, if you really meditate on that, you know what that verse tells you? This is a young man, Timothy, at this point. He said, don't let him despise your youth. What does that tell you about Timothy? Before that, he was a teetotaler, wasn't he? He's a teetotaler. If an apostle, you know, that's kind of the opposite problem we have in America. An apostle has to come and tell you to take some wine. Young man. Kind of the opposite problem. No, what I'm saying is Timothy sure wasn't doing it for the buzz. He wasn't doing it for entertainment reasons or any other reasons. No, he needed to purify the water. And that's the closest thing I could find to any kind of a recommendation of medicine. I'm just the point, when you think about the church and the way it is today, nutrition seminars and health seminars and all these things. Okay, item number four. You tell me if you find it different. Jesus never told anyone to stop sinning before he would heal them. If you find it, you let me know. Now, he preached repentance everywhere that he went. Repent and believe the gospel. He preached repentance right along with John the Baptist. And he would tell them after he healed them, go and sin no more. But I looked hard. I can't find it. And if we ever get to that demonstration that believers, as a sign, believers will lay hands on the sick, that's a sign to sinners. They're getting healed while they're in their sins as a sign that Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen? Here's another one. Angie, you got that car started? Number five. Now, if you find it, you let me know. I'm open. As far as I can find, Jesus never did any sort of inner healing to set captives free. You're never going to find it. He would cast out unclean spirits. He didn't counsel them out. There is one with a ministry of counseling. His name's the Holy Ghost. If you'll actually go pray instead of quit trying to get an appointment with your pastor, the Holy Ghost is a better counselor than your pastor. That doesn't mean to never go. I mean, if you really have a legitimate question, that's fine. But most of this, you need to go read your Bible, pray in the Holy Ghost. He will straighten it out. It's just, there it is. Amen? I cannot find Jesus setting up counseling rooms. I'll meet with you Thursday. We need to meet for 6 months. Every Thursday, Barry, because you're bad. Can you picture Jesus doing anything like that? But is that not the church today? He would cast out unclean spirits. He would cast out spirits of infirmities. And he would cast out devils. What did you tell? That's not always a devil. Sometimes you just emotions and you've got in habits, certain patterns. You know what he told us to do there? What the New Testament says? You're going to have to learn to take every thought captive. And not just captive to the obedience of Christ. That means you've got to start saying about you what the Bible says about you. Smith Wigglesworth said it. I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell Smith how he feels. If you don't learn to live above your emotions, dear Lord, if I live by my emotions, I'll be honest with you, I don't know from day to day if I think I'm saved. Really, I mean, some days I just, me and God, we're going to kick down every devil, every door. Other days, where did you go? And everything, I feel like that old song, gloom and doom and agony on me. You remember that? What was the name of that show? I can't remember now. Oh, yeah, hee-haw, gloom and doom and agony on me, you know. Well, everybody has those. Get over yourself. Now, okay, let me tell you really how to do that, because some people really, really struggle right there. I'm not trying to make fun. Now, listen. I have no idea what the title is tonight. Sorry. Maybe things Jesus did not do. Maybe that would be it. Listen, you want to know the cure for that? There's only one cure, I'll tell you right now. Now, this is a parallel to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's Philippians 4. Now, you've got to remember, Paul wrote this letter from prison. He wrote this letter from prison. His circumstances are not ideal. Okay? And in Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, out of the King James, it says, be careful for nothing. That's a little blind to us today, careful. The real meaning there is don't be full of anxious thought. Don't be full of anxiety and worry. Well, how do I do that? Because some people just wake up worried. Dad Hagin used, when the Lord first started dealing with him about, I think the verse was, cast the whole of your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Hagin said, that's it. I can't do this. My mama was a champion warrior. Her mama was a champion warrior, and I'm a champion warrior. I can't stop worrying. Well, yes, you can. Cast it on me. Dave used to talk about that. He'd have one of them cast your cares services, you know. Come on up and just leave your cares at the altar. And everybody'd come and sling snot for 30 minutes, and you know. And he says, man, and I felt so good just at that moment. I left my burdens at the altar, you know, left my care. He said, the trouble is you know, I drove a Volkswagen, and those cares of mine, they drove a Ferrari. Before I could get home, my cares are already there waiting on me again. Dad Hagin says, I'd get out of bed and kneel and cast my cares on the Lord, get back in bed. Well, I couldn't even go to sleep. Here they were again, get out of bed again. And he had to train himself. You're going to see the word learned here in a minute. Learned. Paul had to learn this. And he's teaching it so you can learn it. And I had to learn this. Smith had to learn this. This is not normal to humans, but it is normal to God's children. Okay? Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now let me just stop right there. Most people worry without praying. They just do. They're in the habit of it. They don't go to God about it. They really don't. They'll come to the pastor. They won't talk to you about it. How do I know that? Going on. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, why is that in there? He's hearing you. Be grateful. He's hearing your prayer. You can cast your care on him with thanksgiving because he's a good, good father. And you are loved by him. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, here it really is. This is training. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Oh God, I know what that is. Peace that passes understanding. I've been at this a long time. We've had times, I could say with Paul, I have learned how to abound. I have learned how to be abased. Sue and I know what it is to sit down and set the dinner plates out with forks and sit there and not a thing in the refrigerator or the cupboard. Sit there and start praising God. Somebody knocked on the door and brought KFC. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Leftover pizza or something. I know what that is. I also know what it is to be able to give $10,000 offerings into an offering bucket. I've had both ends. And it's going to be bigger than that at times. Okay? You have to learn how to be content no matter the circumstances. See? It's a learned thing, and he's telling you how to do it right here. He says, if you learn how to pray and supplicate with thanksgiving, make your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. See, you can be in, like he's in prison writing this. It passes understanding. How can you be at peace? Hey, Peter was in so much peace when they had him in prison, he was asleep. Angel had to thump him on the side and wake him up. Get up, boy, we're getting out of here. Well, can I finish my nap? No, we're going now. Full of peace, see? He was resting in the word of God. Jesus had already told him, you're going to live to be an old man. He wasn't an old man yet. I ain't dying tomorrow. See, if you ever get faith in the word of God like that, you'll be at peace too. Okay. Fine. So, the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, summing it up, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that's God's word, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, if you underline in your Bible, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard, now notice, and seen in me. In other words, I do this. You've seen me do this. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if words mean anything, if you choose not to do this, the God of peace will not be with you. You're going to remain it. He'll love you. But your mind is not going to be at peace. He's teaching you how to do it. Quit letting your emotions run you around like a bully. You're in charge here. Your emotions are not you. You are a spirit born in the image of God on your way to heaven with authority and dominion over every devil in this life. You have every reason to be full of joy. Now, Gary, you feel like that all the time. You must be kidding. I wake up on Blue Monday, no reason to even feel bad. Everything's great. Sue loves me. There's food in the house, gas in the car, but I'm down. You can't let that whip you. Do this. My mama does it like this. Now, my mama's 96. She's been saved longer than most of you, any of you, I think, has been alive. I'm looking around here. She says, if you start feeling a little bit down, get you out a piece of paper, get you a pencil. You start writing down your blessings one by one. You start thanking God. I'm alive. At my age, that's getting better every day. I'm alive. Number two, in my case, Sue loves me. Right up there close, three. Well, maybe Jesus loves me and then Sue loves me. See, there's two people on earth I know that loves me. But now, well, there's more than that. But Jesus loves me. And Sue loves me. I have no reason to be down. Anyway, I got friends. You got a car. You got whatever it is. Now, everybody's got problems. He did not say write those down. He said focus on those things that are true and lovely and just and of a good report. If you really start doing that and thanking him, it won't be very long. You're going to start dancing around. You're going to start feeling better. Okay? That's how you do it. Hallelujah. Come on down to verse 12. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Me too. I've been on both ends of this deal. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have done well. And he starts talking about their gift unto him. He had to learn to be content in every circumstance. All right, back to this message here. This is not at all what I thought was going to happen tonight. I guess the title is, What Things Jesus Did Not Do. Now, that one we were under the heading here. Jesus did not do any sort of inner healing to set captives free. Learn to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Learn to do what he taught in Philippians 4. Now, number 6. Here's another one. I can never find that in order to heal somebody, First, Jesus had to break a generational curse over. Can't find it. I've looked for it. Can't find it. No. See, if you're really born again, Jesus is your Adam. What do you mean generations? Your lineology? I made up a new word. Your lineage? You. You go back one. There's no curses in Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that physically you might not have gotten something passed down in the DNA. I got good news for you. We got a gospel for that. Birth defects, or I don't care what it is. There's a gospel for that. But that's not how they preach it. You gotta find out what great, 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 great grandpa did. And you gotta pray and phooey. That's just phooey. I got this from JMMGrace.com. Years ago, he taught on this, Ezekiel 18:20. You know, even under the old covenant, that ended, that thing about the sins of the fathers shall be on the sons and all. Did you know that ended before the end of the Old Testament? If you want a reference, it's Ezekiel 18:20. Now listen, I'll just read it to you. Now before this, in fact, in the beginning of this chapter, I didn't read, he says, "This you're not going to say this proverb anymore. No more this proverb about the sins of the fathers being visited on the children." Then you got this whole thing, and you come to verse 20, and this is the way it is now from here on. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Amen. You got it? No generational curses, and that's in Ezekiel. That's before we even get to the new covenant. Okay. There's whole ministries based on that. Jesus didn't do that. See? You know what? Number 7. I told him I'd try and be nice. Well, I kind of mentioned this one already. I can't find where Jesus counseled problems out of people. He didn't set up, you know, we brought in psychologists. There's even some of them had the name Christian psychiatry, Christian psychology. You find that in the New Testament for me. You find anything like that. In fact, if you really go back and study the founders of psychiatry, you wouldn't Freud and other ones, you're going to find out, without exception, they either had a drug problem, they had a morality problem, or they had a mental problem themselves. We have a higher standard of truth to set you free. We do not need the methods of the world. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You go pray in the Holy Ghost, he'll become your counselor. You get in the Word becomes your counselor. And you won't need no psychiatrist. Sorry, I know. See, I'm stepping on toes. Jesus would cast. He didn't counsel problems out of people. He cast problems out of people. Because very often what you think is a psychiatry problem is really a devil. Now, can Christians be possessed with a devil? No, not in their spirit. But your mind, are you kidding me? You can have such wrong thoughts that you can have demonic thinking that you need help. Okay? All right, enough. Jesus would tell them the truth and leave it up to them to accept it or reject it. Remember that time he said, had a whole bunch of people following him. And it's like he says, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, can you imagine? You have no life in you? No one, they're going, this is hard. I don't know if I can follow this or not, you know. And most of them rejected it. Now, what would happen today? We'd go running after them. Oh, no, we'd be politically correct and try and, you know, most people and try and straighten it out. Here they're all going. They're leaving. You know, Jesus looks over at the 12. You want to go with them? I get another 12 look just like you. Well, maybe I added that last part, but anyway. But rather than run off and change the truth to coddle them, now here's the truth, accept it or reject it. Most of them rejected it. And the 12 thought about it. What about you? You going to go? Where would we go? Meaning, if there was somewhere. But you have the words of life. We don't understand it either, but we're staying. Amen. All right. The Holy Spirit is your counselor. Pray in tongues. Renew your mind. Oh, God. Okay, here's the last one on this list. Y'all do know Judas had the bag, right? I don't know how it was. I don't know whether it was like a, what do they call it, a man purse? I don't know. You know, some kind of bag that he carried, you know, I don't know. I assume there was a strap on it or something. But everywhere that he went, they had a treasurer. Judas had the bag, right? Can you imagine? I can't find anywhere that Jesus ever told anyone. He said, now here's Judas right here. He has the bag for the ministry. If you'll sow a seed by putting some money in the bag that Judas carries, then I will heal you. That is preached all the time. They don't use quite that language because people would recognize it. Can you, in my wildest stretch, I cannot fathom such a thing as that. That Jesus would ever require money before he would heal you. There's whole ministries built on that too. Yeah, just put an offering in the bag that Judas has right over there. Let me see how much you're putting in. See if a partial healing or a full healing. Can you imagine heresy to the 10th power? See, Jesus used supernatural kingdom of God, power of the Holy Ghost methods. That is the church. And the real church is going to be built the same way. I am not really against anything that I mentioned here. I'm for nutrition. I'm for exercise. If you need counseling, hey, there's been times when it's time to come out here, and I've been standing to ministers, you know, and I've had a pounding headache that I've been standing against, but so that I'll be free to minister to you, I'll take those two aspirins and bless them in the name of the Lord. I know the devil didn't put aspirin in the earth to help us. God did. Amen. You know, but that's not God's best. You know, I'm not going to stay there. But what I'm saying is, don't throw out the baby with, don't go home and throw away your medicine. That's not what we're saying. But I am saying we're going to get back to building the church the way that Jesus built the church. I mean, hey, we're doing good. We're doing good. Okay. Maybe this title, The Time in Between. That was the one I gave him. Or no, you, I think. Too many titles. Can we do that? No. They don't want to do that either. Okay. Turn to Matthew 28 and Mark 16. We'll do this next time or next year. Whatever he says, those other lessons. He wants to do a visual tonight that I believe is going to help a lot. This is the commission to the church. It's really one event. Matthew recorded some details that Mark did not. Mark recorded some details that Matthew did not. But this is the last commissioning of the Lord to his disciples right before he was raised up into heaven. And so let's do Matthew's account first. And Matthew 28, we'll start in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, and that's the Greek word exousia, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Now, that means, when he says all nations, they know that means the Gentiles. Right here is where he is expanding the gospel, not to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles. And I'll just tell you, hardly any of them obeyed it. Their prejudice to believing only the Jews could be saved. I mean, the chronology, it was at least 10 years later when Peter had that vision on the rooftop, and where God almost forced him to go and preach to Cornelius' house. That was roughly 10 years later. He's the historian better than me. But it was a long time later. They had a hard time with that stronghold. Okay? But anyway, the commission, go to teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, get this. Teaching them to observe, and that means do, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Do you know the radical grace message? I think I taught on this last year or the year before. They tell you that the teachings of Jesus was really only to the Jews. And prior to the cross, you can just pretty well throw out most of what he taught. Does that sound like what he's saying here? He says, I want you, I've been training you boys for 3 years. I've been teaching you and teaching you. You've been in on every sermon I've done. I've trained you. Now I want you to go and teach these others. I want you to make disciples out of them and teach them what I taught you. Okay? Let's look at Mark's account. Verse 14. Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11, and they set at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now this is really the same commissioning. This is the same event. Mark just is including some details that Matthew did not. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now notice, if you haven't underlined the word signs yet, please do. These are signs to the world that Jesus has risen from the dead. Signs to the world that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and you need to get saved. That's what the sign is all about. This is how we're to be witnesses for him. You shall receive power after you receive the Holy Ghost to be my witnesses, okay? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and hope to God they recover. Now we're going to get past this, what if it don't happen? Last night I gave an illustration using Alice. And I said, now, in this illustration, maybe I forgot to bring the bread for a communion service. And I said, Alice, here's a few bucks. Would you go get some bread? She said, well, yeah, I'll go get some. And so she's gone. And in the course of that, I'll go on with my teaching and everything. But after about 5 minutes, I go, well, I don't see any bread yet. She's gone with my money. I wonder if Alice is going to really bring the bread. See, but that would be ridiculous if you know Alice. If you know her character, if you know who she is. And I made this statement, and then the Holy Ghost brought it back to me last night. I said, you know, heaven and earth would pass away before Alice would not be back with that bread. Does that remind you of anything? What did Jesus say about his word? Did you know that? He's saying the exact same thing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what I say will come to pass. He was saying that same thing about him. If you can trust Alice, you can trust me. Have faith in God. When he says believers will lay hand on the sick, we're going to have to get past this thing, maybe so and maybe not. Truth said they shall recover. Now that's the truth. We got to rise up to it, not water it down like it's been for 2,000 years. We're going to rise up to believe what he said. Now here's our visual demonstration. Oh, now let me finish reading. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the... I told you. He sat on the right hand of God. God has to do it. Anyway. I told you. And they went forth and preached everywhere. I know it. The Lord working with them. And them is really in italics. It's okay if it's there, but really it's not. I like it better. I drew a line through it in my Bible. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Now, I looked up following. I don't know if I have it handy here. Oh, hang on. Man. I'll bring it to you the next time. I looked it up. That word does not really mean following like a week later. It means to accompany. What it means is the word goes forth and there's the sign. Bam. That's what it means. Bam. Here's the word. Bam. Signs following. Now, visual demonstration. I need someone to represent Jesus. Here's wisdom for you young ministers. Whenever you're ministering in another man's church, always make the pastor Jesus. Jim, would you come up here, please? This is only wisdom. Come stand right here. I want you up a little bit exalted. Now, I need some of the original apostles. I need Bronk, and I need L.A., We need some lady apostles. Jamie, come on up here. You're a lady apostle. Come on up here. Because this is the last commissioning. Just stand right here. Jesus is getting ready to ascend on high. And he's teaching you apostles. Now picture there's 11 of them. Okay? And you do know there were girl apostles? That was too slow. Jim, teach them, okay? That's probably already at your website, but there were lady apostles, trust me. Not in the 11, but they're in the book of Acts. There's lady apostles. So I go to your website. I know this stuff. Anyway, we're trying to picture this commissioning. Now, these are the ones that traveled with him for 3 years. They have not only seen him do it, he has trained them to do it. Amen? And now, in just a few days, this is where in this course of this, he said, now in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost yourself. These are going to wind up in the upper room, right? They're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You got this? So here he is, and he's telling them what I just read. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. And those that believe will be saved, and those that don't will be saved. Okay, now send up. Oh, no, go sit down. Go sit down. You can go sit down. Give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. All right, now these are the ones that have been sent to go everywhere and preach the gospel. I need some everywheres. Laura, would you come up? Julie, would you come up? Chris, would you come up? Oh, and Amarachi, would you come up? Now, I'm choosing them, that these are mighty people of God that you don't know, but I'm choosing them because you don't know. Y'all come right down here. Y'all sitting right here. Okay? Let's get the sequence. Jesus gave the commission. He's been training them. All right? They all go to the upper room. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. The power. Oh, the Shandai Mahandai. Glory to God and everything. But then eventually, all three, they go to evangelize the world. And here they go. These are the ones sent preaching the gospel everywhere. So act like, they're preaching the gospel. Jesus is alive. He's raised from the dead. If you believe, you can be saved. If you don't believe, you'll be damned. Okay? And now these four, they believe it. Now y'all are going on. You can go back to your seats. Now y'all, they're going on to Cyprus and Philippi, and they're going over to all the Immokalee. God-forsaken Canada. I'm in a Canada. Yeah, deepest, darkest Canada. You know how deep and dark it is in Canada, you know. But now these four, they're the believers. Now we need some sinners. We need Tony, I'm calling on you. In fact, just give me some mail. Come on. Just give me a few males. Come on here. We won't pick any women on this part. Chuck, you're a good sinner. Get up here. Now, you guys are over here. You're just drinking and partying, and you just do it. You know what good old sinners do. Okay, come a little closer. I think the camera's having a hard time. Come a little closer. These are just sinner boys out here, doing what sinners do. But look who goes to evangelize them. Now, these are the ones that believe. This is Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, but now they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They've got Christ on the inside of them. When they lay hands on the sick, They recover. When they cast out devils, the devils come out. They're just as anointed as Jesus. This is the same thing. They're believers. That's you. That's you at Walmart, at the grocery store, at the park, on your job. That's you. That's the way the gospel is supposed to work. Nothing else is the truth. That's the truth right there. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Give them all a hand. Isn't that good? Preach myself happy here. Now I'm bringing this out. You want to see it in the Word? For a love offering? Go to Acts 11. This is after the stoning of Stephen. And great persecution came on the church, to the point that they had to scatter. And that they're going all over everywhere. Acts 11. We'll pick it up in verse 19. I'm going to read it out of the King James first. Then we're going to look at it out of the Amplified. Acts 11, 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. I told you they had a hard time with it. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. We don't even know these guys' names. We're not told who they were. Which, when they were come to Antioch, they spoke unto the Grecians. What were they doing? They were preaching the Lord Jesus. Now notice, and the hand of the Lord was with them. What did Jesus say? I am with you to the end of the age. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. The hand, if you want to look up that phrase, the hand of the Lord, another place where that exact same Greek words are used, that time that Paul said, the hand of the Lord shall be upon that evil magician, and he went blind for a season. That's the hand of the Lord. That's the Holy Ghost. Okay, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now let me read it to you out of the Amplified. I'll start in verse 20. But there were some of them men, again, we don't know their names, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on returning to Antioch spoke to the Greeks also, proclaiming to them the good news, the gospel about the Lord Jesus. And the presence of the Lord was with them with power. Did you hear that? The presence of the Lord was with them with power, so that a great number learned to believe, to adhere and trust in and rely on the Lord, and they turned and surrendered themselves to him. That is the way it worked. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to close with that little vision again. The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. John writes that in his first epistle, 1 John. The Lord gave me a vision of it, and I saw the earth like just surrounded by this dark fog. You could see through it, but it was so dark. And there was not from the time of Adam's fall till the time Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. From God's point of view, there was not a human with light in him. But then we had the first one. Jesus Christ conceived in the womb of Mary. He grew up to become a man, got anointed by the Holy Ghost. And that single light moving through the darkness, where Satan was the god of this world, that single light, he was setting the captives free. From God's point of view, every sick person is a prisoner of war. From God's point of view, every demon-possessed person is a prisoner of war. Every mental patient is a prisoner of war. Every birth defect is a prisoner of war. They had one light, just one, going. He was able to put his mantle on 12. They weren't really lights, but they operated under his authority. Then there was 70. There's still only one light, but they were operating under his authority. But then the day came when he was glorified, resurrected. They were able to believe the gospel. And there wasn't just one light on earth anymore. There was many lights and then more lights and then more lights. Now, we understood that when it's come to salvation. Yes, thank God I'm saved, but it's more than that. God intended for every light to be able to do what the original light did. That is what he's doing in this season. He said about himself, I am the light of the world. But prophesying about our day, you are the light of the world. Amen? We are to set the captive free everywhere we go. I hope that little demonstration stays with you. And it's a sign. He will heal the sinner. He will cast devils out of the sinner. He will set sinners in their right mind if we will rise up and believe what he said and become doers of the word. Hallelujah.